This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. This is part two of a three-part conversation. It features Keith Hughes, the Managing Director in Equity Research at SunTrust Robinson Humphrey. When the market bottoms out, when we get rid of all this inventory, whenever it is, the end of 2008, whatever, what kind of growth do you think we're going to see after that? What kind of rate of speed?
I mean, in past cycles, the rebound has been pretty quick. In terms of... Start data, which is, a good measure as any. The past couple cycles, again, back to the 70s, early 80s time frame I was talking about, you bottomed out about a million one in starts on a trailing 12-month basis. Again, at that roughly 30 level, you know, so if you use about a million one this time around, the rebound back to 1.5 million was pretty quick, and 1.5 million is an important number. That's viewed, and I think correctly so, as kind of the sustainable rate of housing demand based on population growth and household makeup and things of that nature. You know, coming into this cycle, we were running on a trailing 12-month basis about 2.1 million roughly. So we were above trend. Now we're heading below trend. And 1.5 million is a trend. So you can see, historically, you've seen a pretty quick snapback. Now there's a lot of other things you gotta think about before you say it's going to snap back quick this time. But that historically, that's what's happened. So we'll see.
So we're seeing a correction in the housing market. It seems to me this is not the first correction we've seen of this type in the housing arena.
Oh no, it's happened multiple times over the last 40 years.
And this one is pretty much like all the rest of them, give or take.
Well, so far, you know, we'll see how much further it goes. That's what the curves tell you. But we'll see. There's some differences, both positive and negatives, to this decline. And you can go through those. I think it's hard to come up with an answer, quite honestly.
I got you. Now, you had talked about the replacement cycle or about the replacement market. And I guess that's the largest portion of floor coverings, or carpet anyway, that's sold. It's independent of the sale of a house.
Well, it's a renovation job that may or may not be part of an existing home sale.
I see.
And that's a number that's very difficult to figure out. How much of renovation is because I just bought a new home and I want to fix it up, you know, a new home to you, an existing home.
Right.
And I want to fix it up, or how much of it is, it's just time to remodel, if you will. The delayable portion, quite honestly, I think most of them are very delayable. I mean, you could buy a new home and live with what you got for a while if you have to. But, I mean, that number is, I think, very elusive to figure out.
So nobody really knows. That's all lumped into one category.
I don't think so. I've seen some attempts to break it out based on, you know, square footage of home sold or something along those lines. But I think you're really guessing at best.
I can remember a number that came out. I think it was BASF. I can't remember. I wouldn't swear to it. And I think they, you know, at least the number I walked away, if my impression is correct, this was several years ago now, was that the amount of carpet sold independent of a sale was probably the majority of carpet sold.
Well, I mean, the number would make sense because if you look at households in the United States, there's about, depending on which source of data you use, about 105 to 150 million single-family homes in the United States. You sell, we're on a rate to sell about 5-odd million this year. So if you're selling 5 to 6 million, or you're turning ownership of 5 to 6 million of those, even if they are 2 to 3 times more likely to do a flooring renovation project versus the guy just living in a house, it's still a small piece of the business versus somebody who is just time to remodel or replace or whatever.
I see. Does anybody have a feel for exactly how bad the replacement business itself is?
I mean, while there are reams of statistics that you get on home building from both public and private sources, there's only a couple renovation numbers that are put out, one by the Census Bureau, and it is so 50,000 foot. And quite honestly, I don't think it captures the market. Now, it's very difficult. You got to look at companies involved in the business.
I see. Now, you had mentioned the replacement business is going to come back before new home building business does.
Right.
So that would be somewhere, what, starting to inch back before the fourth quarter of 2008?
I think over 2008, that that is what we're going to see get gradually better as the year goes along.
I see.
With a rate cut and all the moves on home building, you know, it's going to be a tough third quarter, it's going to be a tough fourth quarter, probably going to be a tough first quarter. But after that, as we move into the season, I think you're going to start to see some movement on that. Granted, it'll be, when I talk about business picking up, I'm talking about versus the prior year. So you'll be coming off a low base. So in terms of a number for the industry, it won't be a huge number, but I think the tide starts to change at that point.
I see. Well, and of course, people are still walking on their floors, whether they want to replace them or not.
It ain't getting any cleaner.
I suspect there's a lot of pent-up demand out there.
Well, that's the other part of it, too. I mean, there would most likely be, whenever this turns, whether I'm right of what I just said or not, when it turns back around, there's usually a fairly big rush of business initially. That can last, you know, particularly given how deep this downturn has been, could last for, you know, 1 to 2 years.
I see. Any idea, a lot of retailers in this business obviously are feeling this and feeling some hurt, no doubt. What kind of retailers are being hurt the most by this? I mean, I suspect the ones at the very low and the very ones at the high are, you know,
probably more at the low end. Or are the ones that would be affected more, just because the lower end consumer has been more pushed on their income based on, you know, gasoline prices and things going on. But I got to tell you, in the flooring industry, you know, most of the flooring stores I go into, not Home Depot and Lowe's, the independents, most of them have a fairly good mix of low high end product. You have a few very high end specialty stores, are usually ceramic tile as much as anything, but they pretty much got a product. Whoever walks in the door, they got something to sell them. And so I think, unlike some other industries where you can really differentiate a retailer who's high-end and low-end, you know, there's a kind of an equal chance for most flooring companies. Your geography probably has a lot more to do with it. I'm sure you're getting crushed in Florida right now, and you'd be much better off in places like Texas, which is where this decline is still a decline in home activity, but not nearly what you're seeing in some other states.
So this cycle we're seeing now is going to reduce the number of floor-covering retailers out there.
I mean, most likely it does during these cycles, and their share gets absorbed by somebody else. What I don't think is happening at Home Depot and Lowe's are taking back any share. Maybe Lowe's, but not Home Depot.
I see. Well, what's your take on them? They seem to be, focusing their attention on the retail arena. Do you think we're going to see them come back and do some serious business in floor coverings, a lot more than they did before?
They're definitely trying. It would help their floor covering business out if they were better in service, and that's really what the current management team at Depot, if they're going to make this work, and they sold off the professional supply business, they've shut down the independent flooring stores, they just shut down the independent landscape stores, they cut back on the expo, what they need to do, is focus on giving you some in-store service. And we'll see if they can do it. It's a tough operational challenge, but they are going to stake the growth of that company on what they can do within the current boxes and perhaps this deal they've done in China.
So how likely are we talking about? I mean, is this a 50% chance they can pull this off?
I have no idea.
You don't want to guess?
I don't know.
Okay. Now, back to the housing sector. We're going to hit bottom, say the fourth quarter of 2008, just for the sake of this conversation. What's the market going to be like in this post-bubble era? What's it going to look like? How different is it going to be from what we've seen over the last several years?
I mean, you might have a nice snapback, as I said before, but let's face it. The bubble times of the last several years are gone forever. They're never coming back. So I think that the reality for a floor covering manufacturer, which I know is a lot of your audience, is that you're going to have to continue to focus on both commercial and retail, the retail side of the business, as opposed to just being a supplier to builder. You could make a fairly good living just being a supplier to builder and seeing some nice growth up until this, up until the declines began, kind of from the 2002 to the 2006 time frame. But now I think it's more and more you're going to have to run a retail shop.
I see. So there's going to be really fewer homes going up. But what about the size of them? I've read some stories about the size of homes.
There's some stories
getting
smaller. It could get smaller. It's one reaction to more price competitiveness, is to cut the size of the home, thus cutting the cost. Then you can also lower the retail price, and maybe you can get some money in the home. It's a possibility. I think more importantly, that your average housing size of a new home is probably going to bottom out here. Stop growing. It's about 2,400 square foot, depending on what survey you use.
I see. I mean, and that's a long-term trend. We will not see houses 5 years from now as big as we've seen them in the last 5 years.
On average, no. I mean, there will always be some big ones built.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a couple things about this that the fallout is going to be. I think the house size will become stagnant. I think that the builders, in an attempt to get more margin, will do as much as they can to give consumers more options on the home and charge them for those options. Not just put in nice cabinets and countertops and carpet pad. For some reason, they're enthralled with carpet pad. But to really offer them more selection throughout the home. And I got to tell you, if you're a supplier to the builders, that's just fantastic, because he make more money, you make more money. That's something that, you know, the reality for the builders is just buying a piece of land and holding it for a couple of years and reselling it, not going to make you a whole lot of money. The builders are going to have to figure out how to actually build houses efficiently, faster, cheaper, better, quicker.
I see. And there's an opportunity there for trading up then with a lot of the, carpet, floor covering.
Everything. Everything in the home, there's an obvious trade up. And, some things mean more to some people than others.
I see. This is going to conclude the second part of a three-part series. It's with Keith Hughes, the Managing Director in Equity Research at SunTrust Robinson Humphrey. We'll air the third part of this conversation tomorrow. This is Floor Radio.